Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning! You should give me love like you do your boy Steak. This is the morning shift. I am he and he is I.
Dude, do we have to do that part too? Like, I've come to terms with the good morning thing, but he is
an all-American who talks over people because he's bigger than others and he thinks that gives him the right, but it doesn't matter.
That's what you do when you yell.
Former Atlanta Falcon. I'm not talking to anybody because I'm the only one yelling.
That's what I'm saying.
Michael, don't ask him what the P in Johnson stands for. He might be acting like it. Mike Johnson. Mike, how you doing? How are we doing this morning? What's going on?
It continues to be a pretty good string of days for Atlanta sports, I have to say, after the victory for the Hawks last night. The only downfall was the fact that I lost our iRacing championship last night in the finale at Phoenix, man. So, when you look at going to the United game and then the Falcons obviously roll in and everything else that goes along with Atlanta sports right now, it feels like we're kind of on a small heater. And hopefully we can stay in that mode and the Hawks get the win over the Knicks last night. But it was not a great night for me in the iRacing. So I'm kind of licking my wounds off that. But nonetheless, moving in the right direction, buddy. How about you, man?
I could not figure out it, Phoenix. The race last night, I would go about 7 laps. And be like, yeah, I got this. And then trouble. Whether it was passing lap or cars, because I was a lap car, passing cars or whatever, it was just a struggle for me. And so you actually finished in the top 5, so it was a good finish for you. But while we were doing that, we were keeping up with the Hawks. And if I told you that every night the big three of the Hawks, which is Trey, Jalen Johnson and Risha Shea.
He's already in the big three for you? He's already, like, that's where he's at? I agree. It's
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, please do.
Who the hell else would have been in the big three when they drafted him? As soon as they drafted him, number one over DeAndre Hunter?
I don't know.
An Asian Clint Capella. Love you, Clint.
We just keep saying, you know, things Onyeka? Like career high. And I'm like, dude, it's game 6. Of course it's a career high.
Let me tell you something, brother. When you drop 33 in 37 minutes with 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. I mean,
it's a pretty good line.
Get off my line, dude, because that's a great stat line. Combined last night, the big three had 79 points, 32 rebounds, 20 assists, 5 steals, and 3 blocks. That's Risha Shea, Trey, and Jalen Johnson. If you get that every night, I'm not sure how you're not a playoff team, B, it not in the play-in round, and C, in every game.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Please.
Is this optimism?
I've been somewhat optimistic about the Hawks this year, I think.
Just from a guy that didn't really have a whole lot of optimism, you know.
I told you.
Before the season
hold
started.
On. I
I'm
did
just
tell
asking
you
a question. It's just a question.
I did tell you that I was very optimistic as soon as I saw Bearded Trey. I need someone to have my back on this. I'm confusing you with Mike then,
who said this team is always going to break his heart.
What are you talking about? I've been optimistic about this team from the beginning.
What are we talking about?
I'm feeling good. I'm ready for this team to break my heart again.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay, well, what does that mean?
I'll be the voice of reason here.
You're ready for them to break your heart again.
Yes, that means that I am going to put my vision on them making a run at a championship until they don't. That's what that means.
Well, maybe we should have just decided to wait and see.
Yeah. Or we could have done that.
It's a better approach. It's the safest play.
That way you don't, you know, have to get judged later. No, I think that when I say I'm ready to have my heart broken again, it means that I'm back on the bandwagon. If I were to come in here and just be like, I don't expect much this year, then I think that that's a negative way of looking at it.
Back on the bandwagon. So then you were pessimistic.
I'm ready to have my heart broken. You know what I mean? It's like when that old flame calls up and it's like, hey, we should get a drink. And you're like, You don't go.
Sure. You block the number.
Sure, I'm ready to have my heart broken again. I'm ready to go back out and do this thing.
That depends on how long that flame burns.
It's an unhealthy relationship. But not for me, anyways. I've blocked all X's numbers.
I have no X's numbers on my phone.
Did you get in trouble when you got home yesterday? Because obviously you just sat here and said you'd be fine without Amy.
Yeah, that's not what I said.
I had people text me saying it was going to be a long ride home for you.
I did cook dinner last night. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But I cook a lot in my house, so it's kind of normal. But no, I mean, she knows that I'm an adult and I can make it on my own.
Okay. So if you don't know what we're talking about, yesterday Tiff asked me and Bo in Which One Wednesday, which one of us would be worse off if our significant other were to be out of the picture. And my wife texted me afterwards and just simply said, you're such a suck up.
I knew, me and Lindsay are very similar in a lot of ways.
I was like, that is so on brand for you. For her to say that to me. But then again, that's kind of how our relationship works. There's somebody for everybody out there. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying me and her are like alike, but there's similarities.
She's definitely
the stronger of the two people in the relationship in the Johnson household.
Wow.
Emotionally speaking.
I don't know about that. Not physically speaking. I just think in terms of her love language, I'm a little more needy. That's all. You know what I mean?
My point's proven.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes her stronger or not.
I think it's a weakness.
If someone's needy, needy has the connotation it has.
What is the connotation?
A little bit of weakness.
Needy is weakness?
Slightly.
No.
Slightly.
I think, and you know what's funny is when we were dating, it was the flip side. And then, you know, once she got me, sunk her teeth in, it was like, now all of a sudden things flip. And now she's got more of a focus on the children than she does me, which is fine.
Wow, really? Your voice cracked a little bit there. Are you sure it's okay?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Just laughing.
You just said, the children.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, which some people in here might need to be calling.
I'm good. She knows I'm a strong man.
I think Tiffany's someone I might knock you out.
I'm
not worried about you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys want to get to the Falcons?
Yeah, it was a different type of practice. We talked, you know, Wednesday, first day the installing game plan, Mike, you can obviously touch on that more, but they kind of did a walkthrough. So it was kind of like a whole team kind of, I don't want to say got the day off, because that's not an accurate depiction of what a walkthrough is, but they kind of toned it down, and it's a late bye week, right? They have two more, counting this weekend, they have two more games. So how do you, as Tiff, you've covered quite a few teams, so you've got a pulse on, and you still work games, so you can get pulse, and you meet with these guys behind closed doors, and Mike, you played. I'm very curious about how that is received and how that affects a team on a game week.
Well, I would say, I mean, they didn't do a full practice yesterday, right?
So it was just a walkthrough type. So they're installing stuff, but it's not, you know, you're not out there running full speed doing stuff.
No, but I mean, I think you know what you're supposed to do at this point. And I think if you have the luxury maybe of getting a little bit of a I don't want to call it a, it's not a break, but it's a long season. And if you give your guys a little bit of a chance like this to, like, maybe recover, is that the part
of the
right word?
Yeah, recover is the right word. Recover is the right word, Tiff. And actually, we don't have time to get to it this segment, but on the other side of the break, I kind of want to talk about recovery and how big of a difference that can mean at this point in the season, because there is some science behind it. And I think Nick Saban's one of the first persons that I heard talk about it in the light that I want to tell y'all about. But the other question I have is, and I think this is still a rule, Bo, you might have to help me out with this. When we came out of the lockout into the 2011 season, one of the new rules was you can only wear full pads 14 times during the season. So I wondered when I saw this, is this a punt? You know, is this kind of a way to kind of split it in half and maybe say, hey, we'll add, we're not going to get to week 14 and stop wearing pads. Is this a way to add a padded day on the back end of the season?
Absolutely. I think it's a twofold thing where you add a padded day. You also, like Tiff said, you know, give guys rest and let people kind of the recovery phase. And it's also the same thing going to the ground. You're only allowed to go to the ground. So, I mean, that's why that and injuries in training camp is why you hear, stay up, stay up, stay up, because that's how they get teams get fined.
Yeah,
I just think it's – I think it is that – remember we talked about real quick, I know we got to go to break. Remember we talked about Bill Belichick and the pulse of the younger player?
Yeah.
And understanding what these guys need now? I think it's that understanding, having the pulse, but also – you're not in a situation where you're letting players run the show, and therefore you don't lose control of the team, if that kind of is phrased in a way that makes you comprehend it, Michael.
Well, how was this walkthrough received by the players and a veteran in Kirk Cousins? We'll hear from him when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-in. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Morning Shift, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, as we were talking about, the Falcons did not do a full practice, just a walkthrough yesterday. And yeah, we have some great insight from here, from Mike on how players receive stuff like that. And we're also going to take a listen to Kirk Cousins right now and his thoughts on getting a little bit of a break.
It's well received. I remember as a rookie, Coach Shanahan, you know, as the year went on, began to work walkthroughs in more often. And as a college player, that was my only background was college. I always thought, you know, more is more. And that to go full speed is the only way. And so it surprised me at first as a rookie that we would do so many walkthroughs. But then I realized how fresh we were in December and January and how much better we were playing. And also mentally, when you're going walkthrough pace, you cover more plays in a shorter amount of time. So the ability to talk through things and rep things, there's a lot of value there. It's a trade-off. You know, certainly there's benefits to going full speed as well, but you just can't get the volume done that we could. So that's where, again, though, tomorrow when you do get the full speed reps, those reps carry that much more importance to really get things covered and make sure you get a good look and make sure you're talking through those plays. But I think you can really benefit yourself, not just today or this week, but as you move later into the season, you can benefit from some of the days where you're not piling on the physical demands.
Golly, man,
good insight.
I couldn't agree with more with everything he said, and I think one of the things he brings up, and he talks about the college game where he thought back then that more is more. Let me be really clear about that first and foremost. More is more a lot of times when you're 21. You know what I mean? Like, you have that stamina, that body composition, that energy level to be able to push through. And a lot of times in college, your schedule was, what, 12 games? 11 games when I got into college, right? Moved to 12, and then I think we were the first team to play 14 or win 14, and then kept pushing on from there. Now it's an astronomical amount, right? So one of the things that I noticed when we were in college and when Nick Saban was hired, he broke the schedule into thirds. He would never let us go more than 4 weeks without an extra off day slipped in. We would call it a mini bye or whatever you want to say, and he would always make sure that on the fifth week, that first day of the week was always a walkthrough.
Did you do this in a professional level at all?
Yes.
Did you ever get
that? And things were a little bit different, okay, like I said, because you get to the professional level, and it just all depends on where the bye week is and when you have a Thursday, right? And, you know, how your coaches want to compose the season and how you want to be physical. And obviously, when I was with Atlanta and I'm there with Tyson Klabo and Mudd and all those guys, it was that you took pride in being physical. So it was important for some of those older guys to take breaks. But I can't tell you, just in terms of taking a little something off the legs for these guys after a month or 2 months of really, really grinding, specifically when you're trying to get guys back to health, not only what that does for the bounce in your legs, but the mental toll that it can take, right? I mean, just walking in and having a coach walk in the locker room and say, "Hey, by the way, walk through today." Like the whole place goes nuts. Yeah. And it's huge for this team, in my opinion, to do that, because you've hit this stretch where you played a lot of football. You are a couple of weeks away from the bye week. And then you get into the stretch run. Guys, I knew we thought it was going to be a soft stretch run, but it is one of those things where you start getting in December and realizing a lot of these games are tougher games than you originally thought they were going to be.
I think it's funny how I understand that the NFL is the shortest season of the major sports, right? Hockey seems like it plays year-round. NBA seems like it plays year-round. Baseball plays 8 months, 9 months.
NASCAR, we were talking about NASCAR last night. NASCAR is like the first race when spring training starts, and they're still going.
They're still going, yep. Same thing with MLS. It lasts forever.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up MLS, because I was about to leave that one out, and that's not fair either. But yet, when we talk about load management and giving guys day off, or when a guy misses a Wednesday practice in the NFL, people what? I remember it with Julio, and he needs to be practicing. He needs, you know, people are like, he's getting paid all the, he needs to be practicing. Yet in the NBA, it's load management is getting to the point where not loved when it happens at times, but it's just a part of the game. I mean, you know, we made the joke yesterday that if you made Joel Embiid play back-to-back games, that would be punishment instead of giving him suspending him for three games. And I know it's a joke, but there's some truth to it. That's why it's
Charles
funny.
Charles Barkley school of thought.
Yeah. So it's amazing to me that we haven't seen more coaches embrace this and give this organization a little bit of credit, because last year when Calais Campbell was a part of this team, he got like every – it was, I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but once
it's
a week –
usually every Wednesday.
Got a vet day.
He got a vet day.
Yeah, vet day.
And guess who was playing as well, if not better than anyone else on the defense – come week 15, 16, 17, and 18, Calais Campbell.
Not only that, but let's not lose this in the equation. Who else came on at the end of last year? How about Zach Harrison, who was getting all those reps while he was out of those practices? So I think it's important to also kind of bring that into focus. And I'm with you, man. We've seen actually some vet minimum days from guys that aren't vets on this team. And I think a lot of that has to do with GPS trackers and all that and load management. And it's also something to look at.
Well, let's look at the injury report when it comes to this team as they get ready to face the Saints over the weekends. There is some good news. So after missing the last month of the season, you had Troy Anderson, your linebacker, who was out with the knee injury, and center Drew Dahlman, who was dealing with an ankle injury. They were listed as full participants. And again, I know this was just a walkthrough, but still, full participants, because that's important for the walkthrough as a game plan going into the week. And then quickly here, with Drake London, with the hip pointer that he's dealing with, and Grady Jarrett, with that Achilles strain, they were both limited. Mm-hmm. But that's big news with Troy Anderson, who did tell reporters afterwards that he's going to play.
Yeah, and it's ironic enough, the last game he actually played in was against New Orleans, and he had the best game.
Did he win an award that week? I think.
I think so. Yeah, the best, a little bit. Yeah, I think he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had his best career. I think he had like 18 tackles total. with the pick six. He had the best game of his career as an NFL player. And it's going to be great to get him back because one of the things I know that we were going to touch on today, I just think when you have a healthy Nate Lyman. See, the Falcons found something with Troy Anderson's injury last year. They found out that Nate Lyman is a freaking stud. In fact, so much that he got his own nickname, which is the landmine. And with Mike, little Mikey P gave him. But the fact is, when you found out what he was, it gave you so much more versatility with Troy and with Caden Ellis. And I think that leads Caden Ellis into getting more pressures and blitzes and using him as a pass rusher.
Yeah, it frees him up for sure.
So good news on the defensive side of the ball. And good news on the offensive side of the ball. Coach Raheem Morris, when he talked to the media afterwards, he sounded very optimistic in talking about Drake London and Grady Jarrett.
They will be out today doing everything, but obviously, you know, as a walkthrough, as a jogthrough, we'll be out there doing those things. But they're still day-to-day. I'm feeling really good about it. You know, not to act like I'm hiding anything from the media, but I'm feeling really good about it. But obviously, you got to go see it. So I like to go see it on Thursday and some of the things a little bit today and a little bit Thursday.
And I think it's funny right there because we started by talking about Troy Anderson and Drew Dahlman. We're like, man, that's good news. And then you look at limited for I think it's actually great news that both those guys were limited, right? Coming off the injuries you were when you had questions, you're like, man, Drake never came back in the game, so you don't know what his status is, right? And you look and you see limited and you go, oh, my goodness, I thought for sure he was going to say out on the injury report. And yet here we are limited. You know, even in a walkthrough stage, that sounds pretty good to me at this point. You know,
and
what I
couldn't
mean?
They have been doing rehab work or something like that on the side to if possible? Even though I know Wednesday is a big day to actually be there for
sure.
Tell me if I'm wrong, because you were a guy that went through these practices, but that's how I've always viewed limited. When I hear limited, I say, okay, he was working over on the side 101, kind of getting his body prepared. That's the way I've always understood limited. I might be completely off, but that's kind of what in my mind, and I see that, I envision. When they're working out, they're just not a full go.
It's not a blanket statement when you say limited because it always depends on what the injury is. If Julio Jones has a bad shoulder, but he can still run, you know, full speed in 7-on-7 in his 1-on-1s. He's going to do that full speed, but he's probably not going to go into a drill where he's going to get any contact on the shoulder. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how you would view it, like, as an offensive lineman. You can do a lot of the, you know, individual work. I can punch bags, right? I can kind of redirect, but if I have a bad hip, I'm probably not going to go into a situation where anybody's going to be around my hip or hit me in the hip. And that's usually what limited mean is limited contact for the most part because nobody wants to get hit in the injury area, but it also doesn't mean you can't react and actually kind of participate.
And it is also fair to say that since it was a walkthrough, that was a little bit of a guesstimation of what they'd have been full practice.
Yeah.
But to your point, Tiff, I think it's very good news. And I will say this too. I think if this game would have been late in the season and it would have been a situation that it was a close game and something was on the line, Grady Jarrett would have been in there. But the fact that, and I think if it was a playoff game, Drake London would have been in the back. But I think the fact that when you're up 14 points and late in the fourth quarter, Big Grady just that helmet.
He took one of those Wednesdays.
Yeah.
He took one of those Wednesdays. Yeah, there you go.
Falcons found a way to get some sacks against the Cowboys. Is it now going to be different moving forward for this team? We'll discuss that at the top of the hour. But up next, we will get you the college football headlines for some SEC teams. Are these games this weekend elimination games when it comes to the college football playoffs?
Yes.
We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The college football playoff rankings came out. They dropped on Tuesday night. And now you look at the matchups that some of these SEC teams in particular have this weekend, and the question comes up is could some of these games be possible elimination games for them in trying to find their way or maintain their way in the 12-team playoff? So I'm looking at an article right now that's on CBS Sports, and it has number 3 Georgia and number 16 Ole Miss. Of course, Georgia just one loss on the season. Ole Miss has 2. And then Alabama at LSU. Alabama and LSU both have 2 losses on the season. So now you're talking about 3 teams in there that could be on the cusp of having a 3-loss season. And so you wonder, can a 3-loss team still make it into the postseason?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Tiff, to your point, it all depends on the quality of wins, the quality of losses, and everything else. So I don't think you can just look at it and say 3 wins eliminates you. But you know, when the possibility of a three-loss SEC team getting in starts to creep in my mind, I am reminded of the outrage that was last year when Bama got in as the SEC champion, FSU was left at 5, and Georgia was back at 6, and how crazy that was. And I think it would be even worse if a three-loss, because you're not just looking at, of course, you have the Alabama-LSU matchup, and then an Ole Miss is at two losses as well, but you go all the way back to Missouri with two losses, Texas A&M has two losses.
Yeah,
there's just a number of teams that kind of sit right on that edge in terms of the SEC and the Big Ten.
But
that you're like, I don't think that can be possible.
But I do think it's possible, because if Texas A&M wins out and they're in the SEC championship game and they lose to a Georgia, right, in the SEC championship game, who has one loss, let's say they have one loss, they're in. Because they're not going to be punished. Their two losses are in the their two losses are in an SEC championship game, and then an SEC regular season game, and they have wins over LSU and Texas, and then their other losses against Notre Dame the first week of the season. They're absolutely going. They're not going to be punished for playing the SEC championship game. They're in, and it's not up for debate with weaker conferences like the ACC and the Big 12.
And just to point out, even despite who you played or who you lost to, in the win-loss column alone, three lost teams are not necessarily mathematically already eliminated.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I just struggle with it, man. You're going to have Tennessee, who's at number 7 right now, that's 7-1. They got to play Georgia next week. If Bama or the LSU were to win this weekend and win out, they're both at 2 losses. The other one's at 3, right? I just think when you start getting to the math of how many teams are involved in this. Now, I agree with you to a point when you look at Texas A&M's actual resume of they can get it done and still move that direction with their 2 losses. And, you know, one of those losses coming, a pretty rough loss last week. But
yeah, right. That's a good way to put it.
I just think that you start adding up the number of SEC teams, and at a certain point, you get to where if there's four or five SEC teams with 2 losses, you start going, man, I don't know how that fits in.
Well, like, right now, the teams that qualify under the measures of having just 2 losses or fewer, there's 8 SEC teams and 4 Big Ten teams.
And look at Georgia 7-1, A&M 7-2, Tennessee and Texas are 7-1, LSU 6-2, Vandy 6-3, Ole Miss 7-2, Alabama 6-2, and then even South Carolina at 5-3 because they have quality wins. Why put them in there? That's a deep conference. But then you look over at their conference records, and it's 5-1, 5-1, 4-1. I mean, so my point is, these teams are good and they are playing good. You know, Georgia has to play Georgia Tech at a conference, and
Georgia's conference ends next weekend.
Yeah,
in Tennessee.
But A&M has played Notre Dame out of conference. You know, so you look at these. LSU has played USC at a conference, which doesn't look as good now. But some of these teams, to my point, are going out of conference and playing quality opponents. And so they might have 2 losses or 3 losses overall, but in conference, they're going to have 1 loss other than the conference title game, which is going to give them quality schedules. It's why they're playing out of conference games that matter, and it's why they're in doing well in good conferences. And you look at the Big Ten, and it's a lot of the same.
Yeah, I am curious, and let me use this as a jumping off point. What is your confidence level that Georgia finishes the rest of the regular season without another loss? What would you say your confidence level is right now?
That Georgia finishes the regular
Georgia
season.
Runs Ole Miss, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
it's high. Because I think Georgia's a top tier program, maybe 1 of 4.
And I think their defense is ascending. So I guess my jumping off point with that is it all is going to depend on who plays Georgia in the SEC title game. You got to remember, Texas A&M right now in the driver's seat, but they're going to finish the season with Texas. So then you start looking at the possibility of a 1-loss Texas maybe going to the SEC championship game. That definitely boots Texas A&M.
Yeah. And look, I believe that winning matters. But no, it matters less now just winning every game in front of you than it ever has. And what matters is who you're winning against and who you're losing against. And that's the whole point of a 12-team playoff is to get teams that have gotten better throughout the season.
So, and let me ask you this. I know a team doesn't approach things this way, but maybe internally there are some internal motivation that's tossed around. But how much pressure is on Georgia then to kind of put, you know, Ole Miss on the rocks in terms of being a three-loss team?
That's a good question. I think that Georgia's so focused on trying to get their offense to look like the offense of a couple of years ago that I don't know that they've even looked up to think about that. Just from a coaching perspective,
we can possibly put these guys on the brink
right.
of elimination.
And
not
that's
going
to be a good
about.
Question to ask Rusty Manziel because he'll be on with us at 8 o'clock today. But
it's twofold, though.
Yeah,
you eliminate them and you put yourself in the driver's seat for the
sure.
SEC championship game.
But it all comes in the same thing. Honestly, it's the same thing with Tennessee next weekend with them, right? I mean, Tennessee obviously beat Alabama at home. They've had a number of quality wins this season. That's a good football team in the top 10. You could kind of knock them down a notch too if you're able to deal with business next week.
And that's the point for me. You go 6-1 if you in the conference if you win, and you don't have to worry about Ole Miss and
have to look over your shoulder. Yeah,
yeah. And then to the same point, you go beat Tennessee, and you also do the same thing. Now you're locked. I think Georgia's locked in.
Yeah,
I don't know how they don't play for the SEC championship game. The only way is if Alabama was to win out, and it came between a head to head between those two teams.
Yeah, there's so many tiebreakers. I can't really follow it. I do want to say this before we get into this segment because I started doing some film study, you know, Tuesday night and other things, and kind of looking around the SEC. I owe an apology to Ole Miss's defense because I think I've been sleeping on them. I don't know how many of y'all have paid attention to Ole Miss's defense. Dude, they are good, and I mean good. I did not realize the defense that Lane Kiffin and company had put together over there in Ole Miss, specifically that defensive front, and we've talked about the transfers they've gotten in. I was kind of looking into how Georgia would kind of match up and, you know, obviously trying to get the run game going, taking stuff off of, Carson Beck's shoulders, and you got Tate Ratledge back in the fold and getting back to full health and everything else. I did not expect to see on film what I saw when I turned on Ole Miss. I was literally like thinking to myself, I mean, I apologize because I have obviously slept on them throughout most of the season in terms of what they are. They are incredible up front. It is them, Tennessee, and Texas A&M when they really get going and in South Carolina. Oh my goodness!
Don't sleep on Texas either.
That's a good point. Yeah, but I did not realize Ole Miss was kind of at that threshold the way some of those other teams are, and they are good.
Third fewest points allowed in the SEC, and they've played a game more than most other SEC teams. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I believe it 100%.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. I was speaking of not sleeping on defenses. Don't sleep on this Falcons defense. Ooh. Now that they maybe opened up, I don't want to say the floodgates, but opened up the gates to some sacks. Could they get more? We'll hear from Coach Raheem Morris when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.